For thousands of years, the Polynesian people of the Pacific Ocean sailed in double-hulled canoes across thousands and thousands of miles of ocean. No GPS, no maps, no compass, no modern instruments of any kind. And they reached places like Hawaii and places like New Zealand and tiny little islands that would be difficult to find even with modern equipment. For years, people wondered, how did they do that? The answer always came back as something called wayfinding. A wayfinder didn't navigate by seeing his or her destination. After all, Hawaii was a half an ocean away. Instead, wayfinders learned to read the signs that were right in front of them. The stars that were visible at night, the swells of the waves that changed a little bit, the flight of seabirds returning to land in the evenings, or the shapes and colors of clouds that formed over distant islands that were impossible to see. You see, they could not see the lands they were searching for, but they could see the signs that would lead them to these lands. As you can imagine, researchers were skeptical that this was actually possible. They theorized that the Polynesian sailors had actually just gotten lost and blown off their courses by storms that carried them to the islands all over the Pacific that they populated. So in 1976, a group of Hawaiian navigators decided to try this ancient wayfaring technique, and they built a traditional voyaging canoe. They named it Hakula'e, meaning the Star of Gladness, and they sailed it without any instruments or maps or compass or GPS, all the way from Hawaii to Tahiti, literally thousands of miles of open ocean. And they made it. And in doing so, they proved something. You don't need to see the whole journey to move forward faithfully. You just need to read the next right sign. And then after that, the next one. For 40 days, Jesus had been with his disciples after the resurrection. For 40 days, he'd been teaching them in the upper room and breaking bread with them and sort of coaching and teaching them about the kingdom of God. And then on a hillside outside Jerusalem, he gave his final instructions. Wait in Jerusalem. The Spirit is coming. You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And then Jesus ascended. He went up to heaven. And the disciples? Well, the disciples just stood there, staring, sort of frozen or stuck. Now, Luke doesn't tell us exactly how long they stood there or why. Maybe it was in awe of what they had just seen. Or maybe it was grief because Jesus, who they had lost and had come back to them, was now leaving in bodily format. Or maybe it was fear and intimidation. After all, he said they would go to the ends of the earth, and that's awfully far from Galilee. But whatever the reason, one thing is clear, and that is they were not moving. They were stuck because their future was just too large, too grand for them to fathom. It's almost as if they had a sort of spiritual writer's block. They didn't know how to write the first word of the next chapter of their lives. And I imagine that all of us know what it's like to be stuck. I imagine many of us have been stuck in grief at some point over something that we've lost. Or maybe we've been stuck in fear over something that hasn't occurred to us yet. Some of us get stuck because we're overwhelmed by all the problems or too many choices or too much responsibility or too much change in our lives. So we just stand there, waiting for clarity, waiting for the right time, waiting till we can see the whole map of the journey that is in front of us. You see, it turns out that humans are not very good at seeing the whole map, despite our great desire to do so. We want to carry the whole futures in our minds, but our minds aren't designed to understand our whole futures. After all, for much of human history, humanity survived by responding to what was right in front of us, right? We responded to the next meal, the next storm, the next predator, the next shelter, the next opportunity to run away from the lion. We're simply not as evolved for the sort of thinking that requires us to understand everything that we'll do for the next 50 years. And the good news is God knows that. So God's not asking us to map out decades and decades of our lives. Now, I want to be clear, I'm not saying that planning is bad or unspiritual. As a matter of fact, for some of us, the next right step for us to take is to make a plan about something. Or maybe it's to pray to God for clarity about where we're being called next. After all, these ancient wayfarers didn't just charge off into the ocean. They learned from elders, they gathered hard-won wisdom, they prepared their canoes carefully. But here's the point. They didn't wait until they had a map of the whole Pacific Ocean before they shoved off from shore. The danger I'm naming this morning is not planning. The danger is when planning becomes indefinite inaction. God, instead, is asking us to read the signs right in front of us and then to take that first step. The disciples were standing there, frozen, staring up at heaven. It's an image that's depicted on the front of your bulletin, or it's also depicted in this stained glass over here. Maybe even after church, come and look at this stained glass for a minute. And put yourself in the shoes of these disciples as Jesus ascends into heaven. What would you have been doing? What would the next move be now that Jesus was suddenly gone? Do you think you might have just stood there too? Because I think I might have. I don't know that I'd be very confident about what to do next. So two angels appear to these disciples and ask, "Men of Galilee," or to translate it, "Men and women of Jacksonville, why do you stand looking upward toward heaven?" Notice what the angels don't do. They don't shame the disciples. They don't, however, give the disciples a strategic plan for the entire church. They instead just ask one question, one simple question. And by doing so, they invite the disciples to take the next step. They give a sort of little nudge to the disciples. You see, the disciples didn't need to see the whole map. They didn't need to know about Pentecost and the tongues of fire, which we'll celebrate next Sunday with baptisms and confirmation and a fire breather here. They didn't need to know about Peter's sermon or Paul's missionary journeys. They only needed to know the next step. "Go to Jerusalem," Jesus had said. That was all they had to know right now, and that was enough. Because the thing that would take place after that, the descending of the Holy Spirit, that was God's responsibility. The disciples' job was just to take this first step. And think about where that first step led. It led to feeding the hungry and welcoming strangers and healing the brokenhearted and bringing God's mercy to the needy and literally changing the face of the earth. Most of us, and I'd imagine it actually is all of us, we want to know the whole map. We want to know everything before we set out. We want to know how things will turn out. But the truth is, the gospel rarely gives us that sort of precise certainty. God doesn't give us the whole map. But what God does give us is often clarity about the next step right in front of us. For you, it might be a phone call this week that you've been avoiding. It might be going to the doctor to check on something you haven't wanted to think about. It might be a genuine apology to someone you love, but you've been too proud to say you were wrong. Or it might be on a really hard day, something as small as simply getting out of bed in the morning. You see, the next step is rarely glamorous. It often looks small or ordinary, but it's often directly in front of you. And the promise of the ascension is that you don't need to know the step that will come after that. You only have to take the step that you can right now. And when you do take that step, you'll discover something remarkable, and that is that God is already there waiting for you, already in the room, already in the conversation that you've been afraid of having. When we're stuck, the most dangerous words that we tell ourselves are often words like, "Not now. I'll move when I know more. I'll deal with it later." But these are dangerous words because "not now" can so easily become "not ever." The disciples on the hillside could have said these same words. They could have stood there waiting for answers, waiting for perfect clarity, but they didn't. They walked down this hill, fully committed to this path, even though they didn't know the whole story, even though they didn't have a detailed map of how it would turn out, trusting that the God who had given them signs about the next step in front of them would lead them through the entirety of their journeys. At the very end of the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel we read today, in these last verses, we're told that the disciples returned to Jerusalem with great joy. With great joy. They had no idea of what would happen next. They didn't have a 5-year plan for their lives or a 20-year plan for the church. They simply knew what they were supposed to do right now: go to Jerusalem. And that was enough to produce great joy in their lives. The joy didn't come from having all the answers. The joy came from moving forward faithfully. The joy came from moving forward and discovering that God was with them on the next right step, even when they couldn't see what would follow. The disciples were learning to be wayfarers by reading the one sign in front of them and then the next, trusting that God was already at work setting up the entire journey. For those ancient Polynesian wayfarers, scientists have done research and they believe that based on DNA and based on shared crops and based on linguistic and shared evidence about language, that these Polynesian explorers made it all the way to South America. Think about that. Thousands of miles of stormy seas that they crossed, not because they had a map or a GPS or knew the whole plan, but because they were faithful to the next sign and the one after that and the one after that. And friends, that same invitation, that same joy is offered to each of us. The angels are still asking, "Men and women of Jacksonville, people of Jacksonville, why do you stand looking up? What are you stuck on? What's the next right step for you? What's the next right step? It might be small. It might seem scary or daunting or difficult. It will almost certainly require admitting that you can't see the whole journey. But the good news, the joy that we find in the gospel today, is that we don't need to know the entire journey. We don't need to know our whole futures. We just need to trust God. that the God who will show us the next step will be walking with us the whole way. So in your life, what is that next step? What's that one next step you could take today or this week? Think about it. Because if you can figure out what that next step is and take that step, the assurance of our gospel is even though Jesus has ascended to heaven, God will be with us the next step, the one after that, and for the entire journey of our lives. So take that next step. Amen.